Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Has everybody got their sheets? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, as we start this tonight, the Lord laid it on my heart to start teaching on deliverance. And one of the things that the Lord was speaking to my heart about, one of the misunderstandings for many people when they look at being delivered from something, they think it has to be like alcoholism or drug addiction or nicotine. But the Lord says, hey, there's many things that we need deliverance from. For some, it may be overeating. For some, it may be stress. For some, it might be carrying things that don't belong to you. For some, it may be deliverance from judging others. Amen? And what God, you know, there's all kinds of things that we can look at. And what the Lord wants to do, he wants to minister to our hearts and lives, because all of us need to be delivered from something. Right. Amen. Amen. Amen? Amen? And normally, the thing that we need deliverance from is become part of our life, and we don't even think it's wrong because we've been doing it so long, it's second nature to us. Amen? Amen. But the Lord, just when we sang that song, he wants to do something from the inside that'll manifest itself on the outside by the word. By the word. So when I was looking at that deliverance, I did an acrostic for deliverance, and tonight we're going to look at the D. The D. Our scripture reference for this is found in Psalms 37. Verse number 39, Psalms 37, verse 39. The Word of God says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Hallelujah. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Amen. So, if you've been trying to get over something that you haven't been able to get over, maybe you ought to listen. So that the thing that you've been trying to get be over can get behind you. Let me say something to everyone. God isn't doing this just for the sake of doing something. He's doing it because we need what he wants to give us. So with the D is to decide. To decide. And Joel 3:14, call to decide. Joel 3:14. Says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The Lord is near to them in the valley of decision. So first, what he is saying here is multitudes are in the valley of decision, but it's going to call for us to make a choice. Amen? To decide. To decide. First, a call to choose one, the life. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 19. The word of God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. In other words, it comes first. It comes for us to choose. We have to make a choice. You know, He is the way, the truth, the life. If we're looking for the life, it's going to call for the choice for us to choose. Amen. And what we're going to choose, to, when we choose to live, we choose the lane to operate in. Amen. God always gives us a path. So look with me in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28. Solomon put it like this. He said, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Amen. You know, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This life happens when we get in the right lane. Now, if you're in a one-way road and you're going in the wrong direction, what happens? You have an accident, you know. If you're not staying on your lane in the highway, you get in the wrong lane, guess what's happened? You're setting yourself up. What God is saying to you and I, when we make a decision to choose life, He'll give us the lane to stay in. Amen. Now, even so many times it's tempted to break the law and cross the double line. Sometimes we cross the double line by accident, mistake, like I do. That's why my wife doesn't let me drive when we travel. So the life in the lane, the main thing is love. And the love in Luke chapter 10, in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, the word of God says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. You know, one thing I want you to understand again, the word of God says the law wasn't abolished in Christ Jesus. It was fulfilled in him. And Jesus said, you fulfilled all the commandments if you love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Love God first, love your neighbor second. Amen. And in other words, what God wants to say to us when we're making a decision to release we've been bound with to the Lord. Amen. He's going to get you. We have to choose the way to life, follow the lane, and then it's all in love. Then he'll be lifting it. I should have put lift in there, but that's coming later. And one of the things this is like you spell deliverance, that's how many classes is going to take, a letter each week. And by the time we get through it, there's going to be so much supernatural healing that you won't be able to do anything else but tell somebody else about it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, when you get delivered from what God's going to deliver you on, there's something inside of each and every one of us that we always thought, well, we're asking the Lord, we're asking the Lord, we're asking the Lord. It's always been there. We've never been able to get rid of it. But God's going to lift it off of you. Amen. Because God said the word's going to go to work. And every time the word's spoken, whether you recognize it or not, it's being spoken into the portals of your ears. And you're hearing it. And it's going to attack that thing that's inside. Hallelujah. Isn't that kind of cool how God works? Amen. Secondly, I have a call to charter. When you charter, I'm talking about the number one is the mapping. The mapping, that God always has a strategy, that God always has a way. And in Psalms 37, go back to Psalms 37 again. The mapping, a call to charter, and the mapping. Student Dusty. The word of God says in verse number 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered in the Lord by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. But our steps are ordered by the Lord. You know, in other words, so many times we take steps, then ask the Lord to bless them. If we would change the way we do that and ask him what steps to take, we'll find that we'll walk the right way a lot more than we walk the wrong. Amen. Amen. So then comes the maneuvering. The maneuvering. Solomon, all of his wisdom, said in Proverbs 16, verse number 7. He said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Amen. So it brings me to the third thing he was talking to me about was mimicking. The mimicking, mimic is to follow the example of someone else, okay? And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. The word of God says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Amen. In other words, we're not operating and moving like we used to, and God wants to do something new in us. We're looking for God to do something new in the atmosphere and to manifest the new what God wants to do in the atmosphere. He wants to do something new in us. Amen. And one of the things he keeps reminding me, every time I think that I've arrived, I find myself in a problem. I haven't gotten there yet. And what I have to do, ouch, I'm still here. If I'm still here, I'm going to face some things. But the trial of my faith works with patience, and patience brings me experience, and experience gives me hope, and hope makes me not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given to me. That said, no matter what's coming my way, no matter where I've been, no matter what I've done, God's got greater and better things for all of us. Right. Hallelujah. So first he says there was a call to choose, a call to to charter, which brings us to a call to change. To change. The transformation, we read that Romans 12 a lot. But let's read it again. Not only for you that are sitting here, but for those that are going on the website, that are battling with addictions, God's deliverance, God works in mighty ways. Great and mighty ways. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm making, there's a call to decide. So I'm choosing life. I'm choosing the lane. I'm choosing the love of God. Amen. And I'm chartering. He's chartering my path. He's mapping it for me. I've got to maneuver. He's maneuvering the way. And I'm to mimic him. You know, we say that statement a lot, but what would Jesus do? How would Jesus respond? What would Jesus say? How would Jesus react? So many times when we're reacting the wrong way, we're opening up the window and the door to demonic forces to come in and feed on what God wants to deliver us from. And all of a sudden it becomes justified. Well, I wouldn't have done that if it wasn't for the woman you gave me. I wouldn't do that if it wasn't for the man you gave me. Nobody can control what you do but you. Amen. It's us that's making the choice. It's what we do to react. It's how we're reacting that he says. But he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And when he's transforming us and he's changing us, we can't justify the old way. You know, there's an old saying, well, that's just the way I am. And God said, get over yourself. Amen? That's not just the way you are. The Bible says you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Passed away means to die. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Amen. 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 And as we're walking in this, that what God is doing, amen, he's wanting us to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. So it brings us to the trust. The trust. One of my favorite scriptures, you know I got a lot of favorites, is Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 28. The Word of God says this. He says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fadeth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So this speaks of the triumph, not only the transformation with the trust, but the triumph. And Titus chapter 3. Titus 3. Verse number 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. What the Lord is saying to us tonight is simply this. There's a call to decide. As we decide, we're choosing life. We're choosing the lane that the Lord's provided through his love. we've been given the charter is the mapping to maneuvering. Amen. As we're maneuvering, we begin mimicking Christ. Amen. Do you think it would be something if it's greater that he that's living in you than he that's living in this world, that they ought to see more of him than us? Amen. So with the mimicking, then there's a call to change. This change always comes for us by the transformation, allowing our to be transformed, but be transformed by the Word, because we trust in God. Amen. And because we trusted Him, we're able to triumph over what we're looking to overcome. Amen. Which brings us to a challenge. In Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 23. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the clean, unclean and the clean. There's no gray area in God's Word. It's written in black and white, and it's covered by the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. So many times we look at the red, man, that red just is, when I look at the red, every time I'm reading the red in Jesus, I see the blood of Christ.
Right.
Amen. And God says, hey, the first thing we have to do, we have to make a decision. We got to choose. And if you choose to open your heart and receive what the Lord has, there's mighty victory that's coming in your life.
Amen.
Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially. He's a God of every level. Amen. And He wants to do some mighty things in our midst. Amen. Amen. I serve a God who's great and mighty and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or even think. You know? So can we just stand and we just lift our hands to heaven, if you don't mind? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for every man, woman, and child that's in the room here tonight, Father God. I thank you for the plans and purposes that you have for each and every one. You've called for us to decide, Father God, to choose today, Father God. And as we choose, Father God, you would charter our steps, Father God. As you charter our steps, things would begin to change in our lives. But you challenged us, Father God, to trust you at your word. So as your word is going forth and speaking into everybody and mine tonight, Father God, you said your word would not return unto you void, that it would accomplish what you sent it to do. And Father, you're depositing something in each and every one that is here tonight. You're depositing your word, the word that is deposited in good soil. That word cannot be stolen, Father God. As that word is being deposited tonight, it'll be receptive to the next word that's coming. And as it's building and as it's growing, Father God, look out. Mountains will fall in our midst, Father God. Things that we've been looking for so long, Father God, will just suddenly appear in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we praise you and give you glory. Be with your children this week, Father God. Be their very present help in time of need. And bring them to your house. It's Sunday, and may they bring somebody with them to come and expect a man of word from God. And we'll never cease to give you all the praise and glory, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen.